If you're thinking about opting in, number one, go and check your participation status so you know whether you have to be in or not. Number two, I think then the decision is, do you have enough Medicare volume that you think it warrants participation? And then if so, really strongly start to investigate vendors if you haven't done so already, but need to try to get through those three steps as quickly as possible and start to think, you know, about being able to pull the trigger.
MIPS. Yeah, you've seen that online somewhere. It stands for Merit-Based Incentive Program, and it's coming. Sounds like it's lurking. Horror movie. Heather Smith from the APTA breaks down what you need to know, what you might need to do with 2019 upon us. This episode's brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. Check out Johnny Owens and the team at OwensRecoveryScience.com.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, here we are with PT Pintcast. We've got Heather Smith live from the APTA's world headquarters right now in Alexandria, Virginia. But hey, by the time CSM rolls around, we'll be groundbroken on the new facility, is the word I'm getting?
Sounds like that's the game plan right now.
Have you already picked out your office, Heather?
No, I have not.
You've got to get in early and call dibs. Dibs?
I know.
All right. Well, I do appreciate you taking some time out to talk with us today. We've got some different things going on in terms of healthcare and payment. I was just at the private practice section meeting in Colorado, and I'd say this was the one of the bigger topics, the thing that everybody was walking around, running around saying, I need to know more about this. Can you help me with it? And that's what Heather is here to do today, right?
Yes.
So we're talking about MIPS. Myths. Well, first of all, why is this a topic right now? Why is this on the tip of everybody's tongue right now?
So as many people are probably aware, the MIPS Merit-Based Incentive Payment System has been going on since 2017, but 2019 is the first year that physical therapists are going to be included in the program. So it is pretty hot news right now.
Yeah, now it's on your radar. Now we have to be. So we'll get into some MIPS myths, but we do want to let people know some resources. You can go to qpp.cms.gov, or of course, the APTA has their own website, chock full of information, apta.org/MIPS. So we'll put that out there. But now we've got Heather with us. Let's go through some of the myths that we're going to debunk. First of all, not everybody is going to be required to participate. Is that true? And what does it mean by that?
That's correct. So unlike the old physician quality reporting system, which many private practitioners are very familiar with, everyone basically had to participate or they got a 2% penalty. This program's totally different. In this program, Medicare actually set what they call a low volume threshold. And what that essentially means is only practices who see a certain volume of Medicare patients will be required to report. And for our PTs and private practice, if they individually go over this low volume threshold, then they need to participate or they would be subject to the full 7% penalty. So that's really important to know. But there'll also be the opportunity potentially to opt in if they exceed one or two of the low volume threshold criteria. You know, we could talk a little bit more about why somebody might want to opt in.
Do it. Yeah, hit me. I mean, I know this was a big topic, as I mentioned, the private practice section. When you start talking about 1, 2, or 7% of your organization's bottom line, ears start to perk up. So give an example of why someone might want to opt in.
Well, what's really important to know is where we're at with respect to payment and Medicare. So for Medicare Part B, traditional fee-for-service, between 2020 and 2025, there's actually going to be an update freeze. So typically, annually, you'll get an increase in the fee schedule. The fee schedule actually is going to have a 0% update for those 5 years.
Wow.
So yeah, this is where we're starting to see that shift to volume, right? So the shift away from volume to value-based payment. And so essentially, although many of our PTs in private practice won't be required to participate, they may want to, because this is essentially how they're going to increase their Medicare dollars. Now, obviously, that's not a guarantee. This is a risk-bearing model. And as you indicated, you know, it is a sliding scale, -7 to +7, and that is dependent on your performance. And so unlike PQRS, where a lot of people felt like it was a simple decision, of course we would participate to avoid this. Here, it's more of a business decision, right? If you're not required to participate, you still may want to weigh the option to be in. Based on the volume of Medicare patients that you see, that could be a large percentage of your practice, and it may be worth it for you to take that risk.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're really good at what you do, which is really what we want to promote, right? If you're good at what you do, getting people back to their prior level of function and beyond is that's what you're good at, then opting in would be great. And it's going to move away from that volume and more for quality. It's a good subtle way to do it right there. If you're going to freeze for about 5 years, that's not a loss. But no. It is. But it is a loss. With no increases, inflation, it really is a loss. So that's a subtle way that that program is actually incentivizing people to jump in.
Yeah, it's just going to give folks, it's, well laid out. And I think it's just an opportunity to start to get their feet wet in value-based payment. So.
All right. So if you're involved, if you're in MIPS, mechanisms for reporting, how does that actually work, Heather?
So basically, you can kind of think about it in two big buckets. So number one, there's still the claims-based reporting. It's where you put a code on your claim form. This is something that many PTs are familiar with. Many of us reported that way in the old physician quality reporting system. Here's the downfall. You do not get any feedback during the reporting year. So 7% on the line. You're kind of doing this blindly.
Wow.
So this is an option. The way I like to think about this is if you're mandated in and you're still documenting on paper, you don't want to take that 7%, right? So you definitely want to participate. If you really are a small practice and you just don't think you can potentially navigate and begin to adopt some of the technology that may make reporting easier, I think doing this versus taking a 7% penalty is a good move.
Yeah.
However, if you are somebody who is electing to opt into this program, you're taking on assumed risk, there are ways to help yourself to be a better reporter. And one of those is to invest in technology. What I'm talking about are things like registry reporting. So the ABTA has a registry, the Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry. And within that registry, what we do is we take the documentation, the information you're collecting on the quality measures, and we calculate those performance rates for you. We give you feedback on those measures throughout the year so that you understand, are you doing well? Are you doing poorly? Is there room for improvement? We also help therapists by calculating a potential MIPS score, and that score is tied to whether you get a penalty, neutral adjustment, or an upwards adjustment. So if you're opting in, opt in smartly.
Yeah.
Really think about technology and talk to your vendor. I can speak to what our registry does. I think it's a great option for those who want to report and opt into MIPS. I think there are smart ways to take this risk on.
Yeah, going in, as you said, blindly and waiting, holding your breath for a year. I usually say, invest wisely in technology. It'll be worth its weight in ibuprofen. It'll solve your headache. I kind of feel like, jumping on something like the APTA's outcomes registry along with this program would not only alleviate headaches, but man, it would get some stomach issues held down too. Just holding your breath for a year, wondering, but getting that feedback all along the way and knowing you're close or you're on the right track, that's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is it's a totally different animal. We're really talking about calculated risk. And I think when you're thinking about those things, you need to be smart in your decision making. And so, I think private practitioners out there could really put themselves at a great advantage in this program. The adoption of technology is critical to really navigating this.
This is the PT Pinecast.
The show is brought to you by Arias Medical Staffing. Quite simply, I could talk on and on about Arias, and I do on the show because they've supported us from the start. But what Arias does is they find you a job wherever you want to go. They've got placements, jobs for PTs in all 50 states. That's how many there are, right? 50? Right. 50 states in all settings. So where do you want to go? Check out where their jobs are. Talk to a recruiter. And again, want to make sure you know, this doesn't cost you, the PT, anything, all right? You just get to go do the thing you want to do, treat patients where you want to do it, and get paid for it. Arias is just the person to make that happen. AURUSmedical.com. That is where you can find them. Talk to a recruiter there. Paid travel and housing. Benefits go with it. Again, positions in all 50 states. A variety of settings. Go here, try this. Don't like the area? Go somewhere else. Short and long-term assignments. Even Con Ed money. You can travel from position to position or take some time off in between. Listen, you put a lot of work into becoming a physical therapist. Do it on your terms now. Travel the country, getting paid to be a PT. AURUSmedical.com.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
And we're back. Let's get back to the show.
All right, up next, what type of things will eligible PTs be required to report if you're in the program?
Great question. So many of our old PQRS measures, things like whether we did a pain assessment on initial evaluation or did a fall screening and assessment and a plan of care, those measures will still be in the program. Where we are trying to evolve to is to look at measures of function, because this is really where we excel. And the physical therapy outcomes registry actually has an application in, and many registries are in the process of applying to be certified by CMS. We, in the past 2 years, have been a qualified clinical data registry. And what that means is that we're able to, we're functioning at a higher level. We're really in this to work on quality improvement in physical therapy practice. And that means that we could submit additional measures to the government for inclusion in this program. And we'd be looking to look at change in function on a number of different tools that are very familiar to physical therapists. And what that also means is that you don't have to change your practice to do these measures. They should be within your regular documentation flow, further decreasing the administrative burden for participation and getting us to much more meaningful measures for the profession.
Yeah, I like that. Meaningful, because you don't want to just putting it... Recording for the sake of recording really doesn't make any sense, but if it's showing off what you're already good at and it's easy, it works with what you're already using, that's two big deals, especially if you're a private practitioner and this is on your dime. Individual versus group practice participation, how do those two things vary?
So obviously, as an individual, it means that you are responsible for that score. It's your performance. As a group, what that means is that everyone in your practice who is reassigned billing rights to the tax ID number of that practice is in. What we know from year one of the program is that group practices actually fared better than individuals. Not shocking. I think that there are some real advantages to participating as a group. You're aggregating all that data. You're working with your colleagues. I think it just helps to really boost and improve the quality of care that you deliver. You're working as a team. And, you know, again, if you're opting in, these are definitely things that you want to think about.
Okay. And final topic I really wanted to jump on, but one of the, not necessarily a myth, but really just a question, timeline. How long do you have to get into gear if you qualify or if you're going to voluntarily opt in?
Not long. This is CMS. You know, they like to give us short timelines. So basically where we're at is the reporting year starts January 1st of 2019. You know, obviously, if you think you're going to be in, you want to be reporting for that full year. I definitely would strongly encourage providers to go to the QPP website that you gave at the beginning of the presentation. There is a place that they can go to check their participation status. And what that does, it will help them to understand whether they are mandated in or whether they'll have the opportunity to opt in. Now, if they're opting in, they can start collecting data on January 1st. It sounds like at this point in time that they would have to make the decision to opt in around the end of the first quarter of 2019, but they, you know, collecting that data early and starting to understand where their performance is would be critically important potentially to moving forward with full participation. But basically, you want to be ready to get going on January 1st. So 6 weeks away.
No pressure. Yeah. And between now and then, you just have a couple of holidays and a bunch of snow days. Yeah, that should be fun.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, hey, take advantage of a snow day and really put your nose to the grindstone. QPP.cms.gov or the APTA resource, apta.org/MIPS. Heather, how would you sum this up? You know, what would you tell an individual who is thinking about opting in?
So if you're thinking about opting in, number one, again, I can't say this enough, go and check your participation status so you know whether you have to be in or not.
Big.
Number two, I think then the decision is, do you have enough Medicare volume that you think it warrants participation? And then if so, really strongly start to investigate vendors if you haven't done so already. I know, you know, we had a booth at PPS, and, you know, hopefully we've certainly gotten a lot of inquiries recently. And I do think that private practitioners are aware, but need to try to get through those three steps as quickly as possible and start to think, you know, about being able to pull the trigger at the beginning of the year.
All right. Heather Smith for the American Physical Therapy Association. I'm just going to call you the MIPS guru. How about that? Is that all right?
Sounds great.
Fair? I didn't want to put any words in your mouth, but I can say that.
Well, that's fine.
You want to give some people some contact information if they wanted to reach out and ask a specific question of you?
Yeah. So two email addresses that I would give is advocacy@APTA.org. And that's for general questions about the MIPS program. Also registry@APTA.org. And that's how you can contact our registry staff and get more information about the PT Outcomes Registry.
Yeah. Love that. You can ask a specific question about you because maybe, you know, the frequently asked question, it's not granular enough for something you want to know. And you need to know this stuff. And that's one of the many reasons the APTA exists, is to help you. Not just the profession, but you, because you're part of the profession. Those websites, one more time, qpp.cms.gov or apta.org/MIPS. Heather, appreciate your time. The clock is ticking if you're jumping in this. January 1st comes quick.
Definitely.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet.
ptpinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
From the makers of this podcast comes a brand new show. It's called NPTE StudyCast. If you're studying for the NPTE, this is the show you need to listen to,
period.
Short, sweet, and to the point episodes from board certified clinical specialists and physical therapy professors on all the topics you need to know to take the NPTE. NPTE StudyCast, available now on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more.
NPTE StudyCast,
the number one NPTE podcast
in the world.